Okay, last time we started meal, but we didn't finish some things about mikvah. If somebody asked, where is he? Okay, the question is, how do you build a mikveh? How do you start a mikvah when you live in a place that there's no rain? Let's say LA, you want to build a mikveh. There's not a lot of rain to get enough rainwater to, or Arizona or Nevada. I mean, like, how do you build a mikveh if you don't get rainwater? So the way it's done is they get snow. To go to the mountains and you get snow. The problem with that is, how do you get the snow to the mikveh? Because once water goes into a utensil, into a keli, it's not rainwater anymore. It's what's called mayim she'uvim. It's like drawn water. So the question is, how do you get snow from the mountains to the city and put it into the mikveh? So the way they do it is, first of all, if they're digging with shovels, they make sure the shovels have holes in them at the bottom. Okay? So then it's not a keli because it can't hold anything. It can go straight through. That's number one. So they get shovels or other types of things that don't have any holes, that has holes at the bottom, that things can actually drip out. But the problem is, if I use that shovel and then put the snow, let's say, into a milk crate, so then the floor of the milk crate, when the snow starts melting, which it will, it's going to become a keli in the milk crate. Even if you have milk crates that have holes in them, but if you put it onto the floor of the truck, then that becomes a keli because it's holding it now. It's not leaking out. It's going to hold it. And then the problem is, how do you get the snow into the mikveh? So number one, they do like this. They take shovels with holes in it. They take milk crates that have holes in it. They put it on top of a truck, not on the direct floor of the truck. They put down boards in a way that the holes, and nothing's held up by, you know, the water can technically leak out onto the floor. Yeah, and then once you get all that snow, and you use your freezer truck, obviously, if not, it's all going to melt. So you get a freezer truck, and then when you bring it to the mikveh, you take the crates and you throw it down into the bar, whichever it is, hamshacha, gimel tvach, whatever it is. And that's the way you build the mikveh until, but all the poskim write, once there's rain, you really should get rain properly, not rely on snow. Now, what about ice? Can we use ice for a mikveh? So, natural ice, not that you buy in the store the bags of ice, but you get, let's say, you're in a place where it's freezing, a rush or whatever, you know, you get ice, and then again, you bring it not in a keli, and then when it melts as rainwater. But there's a big machlekes in halacha, can I use ice that's made by a machine, like an ice maker? Can I use the ice made by an ice maker? And a lot of poskim hold, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because the fact that the ice is being made in a vessel, so when it's being made, it's already in a keli. And some people say you could, but again, when it comes to mikveh, you're machmir with all the possible chumers. So therefore, so if, what? Huh? Because they say that some people say, if it becomes tamei, it becomes kosher again, whatever. But again, the accepted thing is they try not to use it. Unless if it's natural ice, and again, that melts in the mikveh. Another interesting halacha is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says that many opinions say you're not allowed to heat a mikveh. It's not good. Most places now, based on, it's interesting, the Alter Rebbe pushed about a mikveh that it should be hot because otherwise people won't go. I'm talking about women's mikvehs. And now the minig is that everybody heats mikvehs. I'm talking about women's mikveh. What's
the shayla
of the
hot mikveh that
you
request?
I don't remember what was the problem. The Shach talks about it, I remember, but whatever. I don't remember now.
No,
even if you, let's say, put coils into the water.
That's what they most
do. No, most places heat it with a filter. And it gets heated in the filtering system. Yeah, but that's different than heating a mikvah in a regular way for women. There is a mikvah, but the bottom line is, the world is makel now that everybody... now, another interesting thing is, like, can an ocean be used as a mikvah? Can rivers be used as a mikvah? Can lakes be used as a mikvah? Well, let's put it this way. If you look at the beginning of Chumash, it says, Ulemikveh Hamayim Kore Yamim. Hashem called the gathering mikvah. What's mikvah? Mikvah means a gathering of water. Also means hope, but it means a gathering of water. So the Pasuk says at the beginning of Teda, Ulemikveh Hamayim Kore Yamim. The gathering of water Hashem called Yam. But that is, so an ocean, well, we'll discuss the practical, I mean, the technical, and then the realistic. Okay? So, there's no better mikvah, halachically, than the ocean. Or a big sea. There's nothing better than that. The Chumash itself calls it a mikvah. The question is, what happens if you have rivers? And what happens if you have man-made lakes? A lot of lakes out there today are man-made lakes. What do you mean man-made lakes? They're actually, they bring in through hoses. They make holes in the ground, and they hose it in. Now that's obviously not a kosher mikveh anymore because it's sink water. It's not rainwater because it went through a keli, it went through a utensil. And once it goes through a utensil, it's not...
One second.
So if it's man, and trust me, you have a lot of times, all that button get this question. People are on a vacation somewhere, and there's lakes, and the woman has to go to the mikveh. You want to know, can the woman go to the mikveh in a lake somewhere? So number one, you have to know, is it a man-made lake, or it's a natural lake? If it's a natural lake, yeah, it's a good mikveh. Now, what's with a river? River is very complicated, because some rivers, if they dry up part of the year, then they're not kosher for the mikveh. Even if they dry out, it depends if how much of the water is left. Is it sheer mikveh or not? But nowadays, even Kitzur brings down, if it comes through rainwater and it dries up, even though it's originally from rainwater, but the fact that it dries up, so even when it's functioning, you can't table in the mikveh. But there's another issue with using, let's say, the ocean. Yeah, you can use go to the Pacific Ocean. Go to the Pacific Ocean. Technically, it's a great mikveh. But there's a few issues involved. If a woman has to table in the ocean, number one, a woman's supposed to go to the mikveh at night. Number one. At night, there's no light. No. Halacha is a woman has to go to mikveh at night. The Gemara learns that by anida, not by other impurities. And the other impurities, you go by day and your tummy until the night. By a woman doesn't need that, she has to go after the seven clean days at night. Once in a while, they can go on the eighth day, but that's only in extreme circumstances. So the woman has to table in the mikveh. So number one, the mikveh is freezing. The ocean is freezing, yes? One second. At night, the mikveh. And then, who's going to watch it to make sure that all the hair is submerged under the water? Because if any one hair is sticking out of the water, it's not a kosher immersion.
Make a flashlight.
Okay. So then, even if the husband's going to be the attendant, so to speak. So, yeah, the mikveh. One second. First of all, there are a lot of times they're afraid. You go to the ocean. One second. They're afraid people are looking. People are watching, okay? So a lot of times what they do is, they go in with a bathing suit into the water, and then when they're in the water, then they take it off and they immerse in the... But, yeah, I know. But you're not a woman. But the problem with that is, there's another issue with the ocean. In the ocean, there's sand. And the wet sand sticks to your feet. No. Now, if the woman is going to tevel with sand on her foot, which, because it's wet, sticks to the foot, that's again a separation between the body and the water. So they have to go in, and it's very complicated. It's possible to be done. I know why they do it, and they do it in the Caribbean. They do it. So one second. So then you have a problem, because if she has sand on the foot, then it's a chetzitza. So what she has to do is go in like with closed sandals. Like the plastic shoes, though, that you can get wet, right? And then she goes in like that into the water. I'm not saying this. I'm just showing mentioning the complications with it. And therefore, if they do it, you have to have somebody who really knows what they're doing from experience, how to do it in a practical way. So number one, you have to get a private place. Secondly, you have to make sure there's a little bit of light that you can see, or if not, take a flashlight. What do you do Shabbos? You can't do that. And then they have to wear a flat. Then they have to wear a bathing suit. Probably. Once again, then they have to make sure that there's no sand on the foot and all the water is immersed. And the water is cold. I mean, there's a lot of... what? Yeah, but that grows...
Sand in the bottom of the ocean should be...
If it's on your foot, though, you're right. The sand itself is not, but once it's on your foot, it's a chitzitza.
Free crop is okay.
Huh? No, because then you get in with sand all over the foot.
But you wash your
if you're in the water, then it's not.
But in the water, when she's tabling the ocean, there's sand at the bottom.
She picks up her feet.
Okay, so then you gotta clean it. And then you gotta, but then you put your.
What if she goes to her place and she swims?
Okay. My God. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying there are issues to be dealt with. Therefore, halachically, if there's a mikvah, or they're coming back in a day or two, then afpidin, they have to wait until they come back to be able to table in a proper mikvah.
But let me see. If she toggles in the water, she holds her hair so it won't be anything on top.
No, but she has to let go of the hair underwater.
Her own hair?
Yeah, because the hair is not letting the water go to the hand. Oh.
You're kidding. Even her hair.
I'm not kidding.
It's her own hair. It's her own body.
Shave her head before she goes in.
Like the Satmar do, you know? They shave their head.
And then she picks up her feet and she's totally in the water.
How can you pick up both feet at the same time?
If you're in water, you're floating, Rabbi.
Yeah.
If you're floating, then you...
The ocean is deep enough for you.
I understand. But if she's standing on the ocean floor, because she's not immersing in a very deep place, because she's afraid to immerse in a very deep place.
You go up to here, you
just pull
up your feet.
Especially at night, the tide can pull you out. Right?
It's not, all I'm saying, I didn't say it's impossible to be done in their places and why they take people to them. I know what goes on.
Huh? Even in Russia, drowning in the rivers.
Yeah. In Russia, they used to break ice to travel in the rivers. They didn't have mikvahs. The government didn't let mikvahs in those days. How are you going to carry the water? Number one, you're carrying the sand. How are you supposed to squeeze out water from a bathing suit? Should I tell you that's a certain problem? How you can bring a flashlight?
There's a mikvah there. I mean, there's an area.
Where? In the ocean, there's an area?
No, I'm saying the whole area is.
But in the water, there's no area. So you can't carry in the water. You're not allowed to carry 6 feet in the water.
What about
it's carrying an acarmelis, 6 feet.
What if it's a man-made lake, but it rains after?
Doesn't matter. No, it has to be lechatchila rainwater.
What about all the fresh rainwater that sinks into the man-made? 50 years of rain doesn't make it. If it's constantly pumping.
It doesn't. Halachically, it's not going to. Okay.